You don't need special gadgets to be a hero. With unlimited 1.5% cash back on every purchase everywhere, the Capital One Quicksilver Card makes you the hero of every purchase. Whether it's headphones, a lounge chair, or even a well-deserved massage, whatever the Quicksilver purchase, you're the hero. No fighting bad guys, getting in epic car chases, or parachuting out of buildings required. Simple, isn't it? The Capital One Quicksilver Card. What's in your wallet? Terms apply. See CapitalOne.com for details.
That Los Angeles sunshine coming through.
Please stand by. Prime Video and Westworld director Jonathan Nolan invite you to Fallout.
After 200 years, we don't know much about what's up there. Violence, desperation, lawlessness.
Everyone wants to save the world, they just disagree on how.
We're gonna get across that wasteland. And we're gonna do it together.
Fallout. All episodes available now on Prime Video.
Hey, everybody. We are so glad to be coming back to SF Sketchfest this week, the best comedy festival in the land, for our first live show in 2 years.
Yep, we're going to be there on Friday, January 21st at 7:30 p.m. at the Sydney Goldstein Theater, to be specific. And if you want tickets, then head on over to sfsketchfest.com or cityboxoffice.com and search Stuff You Should Know.
That's right. It's a vaccinated-only show and a masking-up show. So everyone be safe, get out there, and come check us out live.
We'll see you on January 21st.
Welcome to Stuff You Should Know, a production of iHeartRadio.
Hey, and welcome to the podcast. I'm Josh Clark, and there's Charles W. Chuck Bryan over there. And Jerry was just here. She said, peace out, suckas. And this is Stuff You Should Know, of course.
It was nice of her to log on to say goodbye.
Right.
Now, we're just kidding, Jerry. She's been busy lately.
Yeah.
That happens.
It totally happens in this busy go-go world of 2021, almost 2022. The double deuce.
This year has just flown by.
It really has. I think mercifully, because this is going to be part of the lost years when we look back, you know?
Yeah, it felt like 2020 took 18 years.
Right.
And somehow 2021 has just like been in a snap.
Yeah.
I don't know what's going on.
I don't think anyone does anymore, Chuck, so don't feel bad.
Can we shout out to the people and sources that helped us along for this one?
Mm-hmm.
Well, our buddy Dave Ruse wrote an article for How Stuff Works.
Ta-da!
And it was, I found a great article from Wired. I forgot how much I love Wired. That's from Mallory Pickett.
Mm-hmm.
And BBC News, ABC News, NPR, Morning Edish, which is always a fun listen. National Library of Medicine here in the U.S. And then, as always, I feel like it makes appearance in every episode, JamaicaHospital.org.
That's right.
Surprisingly helpful.
Yeah.
Or maybe not surprisingly.
I wonder, is it Jamaica Queens or Jamaica Jamaica?
Oh, you know what? I was thinking Jamaica Jamaica. It may be Jamaica Queens.
Yeah. Should I Jamaica scene Jamaica Queens?
My neighbor across the street has is from Jamaica, the country.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like a heel now because I was like, hey, that hospital website's great, Pat. She's like, what are you talking about? Yeah.
She's like, okay, great. Yeah, glad goodness. You like some random hospital website. Oh, boy. So we're talking today. You went and found some medical stuff. That's why you went to look at JamaicaHospital.org, I'm guessing, because we're talking about a really interesting condition and actually a few kinds of conditions that have something unusual in common, and that is that the people who suffer from these conditions have blue skin. Blue skin. You heard it here first, everybody, even though this really first started hitting the presses in 2008.
Yeah, I mean, you didn't hear it here first. This is all over the internet, but we're talking about not the Blue Man Group, but the Blue People Group of Kentucky. It's a family that is, I guess it's pronounced Fugate.
Mm-hmm.
It's not Fugate?
No, that's Italian. He was from France.
Well, that's a spoiler.
Oh, is it? I'm sorry. Really. I take it back, everyone.
It's not a spoiler, but for some reason, when I saw that, the original Martin Fugate was from France, I'm not sure what part of France, but I was like, huh, that's surprising. Mm-hmm. I was like, I don't know why it would be.
Yeah, he could have come from anywhere in the world, and he would have been like a completely overlookable person, I think, totally lost to history, had it not been for the rare genetic mutation that he happened to carry with him. And even that wouldn't have gotten him into the history books, Chuck. Even that wouldn't have. Instead, it took Martin Fugate to happen upon, against all odds, to have found a wife who he was not related to, who was a total stranger from a totally different country, who also happened to have that same rare genetic mutation. And when the two get together, kapow, blue kids start popping out.
That's right. He came over from France to Kentucky, to the Blue Hills of Kentucky, ironically.
Oh, wow. I hadn't thought about that.
In 1820. And like I said, he was from France and he was an orphan, so he didn't know a lot about his family as far as whether or not any of them were blue, I guess.
No. Or if so, he wasn't piping up about it.
Yeah. Maybe he just kept it quiet. But he did marry a redheaded American named Elizabeth Smith, mm-hmm. and they headed on over to Troublesome Creek near Hazard County in Kentucky and set up a homestead there. Mm-hmm. And it is one of the doctors that from one of these articles said, you know, it's maybe one in a 100,000 chance that you had to even have this genetic mutation.
Right.
And he said, but, you know, once you start, I guess there's no other way to say it. Once you start inbreeding, mm-hmm. which can happen in the 1800s in the ruralness of Kentucky, he said that can go down all the way to like 1 in 8 chance. And that's exactly what happened.
Yeah, I was surprised it was even 1 in 8, but there's some little fluke of genetics that that when you're talking about probability in genetics, it's a little more difficult than, you know, half and half.
It's not straight math.
Yeah. Apparently Martin himself possibly had like a little bit of blue to him. His wife Elizabeth had no blue to her. She apparently had very, very pale skin and bright red hair. But when the two got together and those two genetic mutations donated their mutations to that specific gene, the kids that they had were like irresistibly blue. Like there was no confusing. It's not like, yeah, Martin's kind of blue. Have you ever noticed? Maybe he needs to breathe more deeply. This was like straight up blue kids. Yeah. I've even seen them described as dark blue, not even a bluish hue or tint or tinge, dark blue skinned children.
Yeah, 4 of 7 were blue. And it's funny you said that she was not, the mother was not blue tinted. But I imagine like before they knew about genetics and inbreeding, mm-hmm. If she would have been a little blue, that might have been a reason to get together. You know what I mean?
No, I don't. Explain.
Well, blue man happens to meet blue woman, and they're like, geez, there's another one like me.
Mm.
And, you know, we've been sort of embarrassing, and maybe we're cast out a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
So let's hitch our wagons together, because there's probably nothing wrong with us having kids, right? Because medical science hadn't known that at that point.
Right. It's a story as old as time, Chuck.
But it was it was just complete happenstance, though.
Right, yeah. So, and I wonder also, like, it was significant to me that they pointed out that his wife, Elizabeth Smith Fugate's skin was almost translucent. It was so pale. Because I wonder if she donated that to her children, which allowed the blue to really shine through even more.
Oh, maybe.
It's possible.
Like the ultimate recipe for blueness?
Exactly. And they actually became known as this blue family, and they were not particularly proud of their blue skin. I think they were a little freaked out about it. I think that their neighbors may not have particularly treated them well. And so they already lived in like a pretty isolated part of Appalachia. But they took pains to actually isolate themselves even further. And right. one of the consequences of that was something you touched upon, that meant that their son married their aunt, and cousins married cousins, even if they were way too close to be marrying. And so one of the products of this intermarriage was an entire small regional population of blue families, or families who have blue children or blue family members, because these neighbor families were still blood relatives of the Fugates, who initially settled this area and just started reproducing through inbreeding.
That's right. And the condition that they had is not a skin condition at all. It's actually a blood disorder, like you mentioned, and it's called methemoglobinemia. Is that pretty good?
Wow. So it's not meth?
No.
Okay. Oh, I'm glad you said it first then.
I actually took great pains today to look up between this and the other episode we're recording.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Pronunciations.
Yeah.
And when you look at methemoglobinemia, that is 17 letters of it's a mouthful of letters.
Yeah, pure hell.
And it's really one of those that I looked at over and over and just could not get it right in my head until I, you know, went and looked it up on the internet. And I was like, no, it's not so hard.
All right, let me try. Methemoglobinemia.
I think it's more of a T than a D.
Okay. What about a B? You want me to try that one next?
This is like the worst acting audition ever.
Methemoglobinemia.
Let me give you another one.
What's my motivation here?
To get through this episode.
Okay, fair enough.
So we're going to touch a little bit on melanin throughout this episode, but you remember melanin from our, I think, pretty good episode on sunscreen and suntans, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. And this is, special cells in the body, in the skin, make melanin, and melanin is responsible for coloring your skin. And there are all kinds of different melanin disorders, whether you have too much or too little, whether you can, it'll make your skin lighter or darker, or whether or not it happens in patches. I had a friend in Los Angeles with vitiligo.
Mm-hmm. I have a friend too.
Oh, you do?
Mm-hmm.
Which, leads to patches of light skin on the body. Isn't that what Michael Jackson claimed to have had too?
Yes.
Was that verified?
I don't know.
I don't know either.
I really don't know.
I just remember there was a big stink when that came out. Everyone was like, yeah, right.
The reason why it was like, really, you got vitiligo? Because it's usually patches, like the melanocytes, the melanin-producing cells, just kind of poop out or crap out in an area. And it leaves like patches without pigment. Not your entire face without pigment, but who knows?
Well, I think what he said was that he bleached his skin to match the light patches was his reasoning.
Oh, well, that's fairly reasonable. If you're self-conscious about vitiligo and you have a ton of money, you could do something like that.
Who knows?
Who knows?
Should we talk about skin color or should we take an awkward Michael Jackson break?
I think we just did. But the point is this that I think you're making, Chuck, is that changes in like your skin color typically have to do with a lack of or an overproduction of melanin, right? And
that's right.
What we're talking about, methemoglobinemia, right?
Yep.
Is actually a blood disorder. It has nothing to do with the skin. It just shines through that super translucent skin that we have.
Right. So what's going on here in the body?
Oh, yeah. Okay. So,
are you surprised I'm asking you to do this?
I'm a little surprised. I thought we maybe tag team this one, but okay. So you have like a pinkish hue to you typically, being Caucasian, because there's not a ton of melanin that's blocking the blood supply underneath in your tissues. It's kind of shining through, and your blood is red. And the reason it's red, Chuck, is because...
But the reason why blood is red? Uh-huh. Well, remember in school they teach you that your blood is blue until you get cut and then it hits the air.
Yeah, that's not true.
And then it turns red. That's what you hear on the playground in elementary school.
From dumb kids.
But that is not true. And I bet you anything, kids are still spreading that mistruth on the playground.
Yep. Yeah. It's got some staying power for sure as far as rumors go.
And you know what? My dad will sue your dad for all the money he's got. Did you guys threaten lawsuits?
Sure. We were very litigious.
Kids did, though. It was very funny.
We were like little Puritans in Salem Town.
That's right. So blood is red. That was a question, right?
Yeah. Why is blood red?
Right, because I don't know, we've talked about this before, but it's because our red blood cells have hemoglobin. It's a protein, mm-hmm. and it gets its red color from something called heme. It's a compound that has an iron atom in there, and that iron atom is the key. That's what binds with oxygen and allows red blood cells to get oxygen all over the body, and that's sort of what makes us tick.
Yeah, it definitely is. I mean, that oxygen is super important, so we want to have super red-rich hemoglobin blood, right? Our bodies also produce something else called methemoglobins, I guess is how you would pronounce it. That is not how I've been pronouncing it in my head. But these methemoglobins are basically the same thing as hemoglobins, but they have a different kind of iron attached to them. The iron they have is... like, there's really no other way to put it. Well, actually, there's plenty of other ways to put it. But one way you could put it is that it's rusted. It's oxidized iron, which means that it's missing an electron that it would need to bind to oxygen, which means it's useless for transporting oxygen through the blood. So if you have a bunch of methemoglobin built up in your blood can reasonably turn blue. You also may have some problems breathing because you don't have any oxygen in your blood. Although that's not true. I'm sorry. You would be able to breathe perfectly fine, but it wouldn't clear up necessarily the lack of oxygen in your blood because it's on a blood level rather than something to do with your lungs.
Yeah, that was my one question, because doctor after doctor has confirmed that methemoglobinemia doesn't present any health issues.
Yeah.
But how can that be possible that your blood is having trouble carrying oxygen through your body and it doesn't matter?
I had a really hard time with that too. And the best I could come up with as far as an answer, which is not definitive, but the best mm-hmm. I could come up with is that there's a threshold where your blood will turn blue, where you have enough methemoglobins in there that it's blue, mm-hmm. but there's not so many methemoglobins that you're actually having trouble with your oxygen in your body. So it can turn blue long before you actually like suffer from the effects of low oxygen. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I guess it makes sense. And isn't the threshold to turn your skin blue like a really low percentage even?
Mm-hmm, like 1% of methemoglobins. Yeah. If your blood is 1% methemoglobins, you can start to turn blue, right? So it doesn't take very much, which means that you have 99% of the globins in your blood are hemoglobin, which means you're still able to get all the oxygen you need. You just have maybe a little less than somebody else. That's my best guess from what I saw. And I think at this point in our understanding of methemoglobinemia, it's as good as anybody's.
Well, that sounds like a perfect place for a break.
Okay.
And we'll be right back to talk a little bit more about this and other interesting blood conditions right after this. Hey, everybody. It's halftime and the scoreboard is not looking good. You're feeling low and not sure you can pull out a win. And that's when you have to dig deep, lift your head up, and say to yourself, time to get back in the game. Pull off some bank heists and take as much of your friend's money as you possibly can.
That's right. The smash hit mobile game Monopoly Go lets you compete with your friends to get the most riches and the biggest empire. It's the Monopoly you love, but on your phone, anytime, with tons of new twists, including leaderboards to compare your progress to your buddies.
That's right. You can play on countless dynamic Monopoly boards. You can make your friends bankrupt by smashing their landmarks with a wrecking ball. And you can charge other players rent for your iconic properties.
Plus, you can even work with your friends to crack open community chests in tournaments to get rewards and climb the leaderboard.
So get back out there, put on your game face, and download Monopoly Go, now free on the App Store or Google Play.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hey everybody, it's time you heard about Squarespace. Squarespace has the tools you need to create and sell your own website. Whether it's an online course or custom merch, Squarespace has you covered.
That's right. Courses is a great program. You can start with a professional layout that fits your brand, upload video lessons to teach techniques and skills, and tailor your course with a powerful Fluid Engine editor.
That's right. With Fluid Engine, which is a next-generation website design system, by the way, it's never been easier for anyone to unlock unbreakable creativity.
That's right. And don't forget the commerce side, because after that, you can charge a one-time fee or you can even sell a subscription.
Yeah. So turn your creativity into income with Squarespace courses. And right now, go to squarespace.com/stuff for a free trial. And when you're ready to launch, use offer code STUFF to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. Squarespace. And now a word from the show's sponsors at Betterment. Let's talk about hustle culture, shall we? You know, the whole rise and grind, go big or go home thing. It's a lifestyle that might not be for you.
That's right, but one that your money can handle thanks to Betterment. Betterment is the automated investing and savings app that makes your money hustle.
How? Good question. Their automated technology optimizes your investments again and again. With Betterment, your money is taking ice baths at 5 a.m. while you get your well-deserved rest. Your money downs protein smoothies and automatically reinvests your dividends, all before you head out the door. Your money is a workaholic.
But you don't have to be, because you've got Betterment, the automated investing and savings app that makes your money hustle. So visit Betterment.com to get started. Investing involves risk. Performance is not guaranteed.
So, Chuck, we were talking about methemoglobinemia, and the reason, I think one of us said earlier that the body naturally produces these things, these methemoglobins. But we also produce an enzyme that can convert excess methemoglobins into hemoglobin, and it's got a doozy of a name, which I just love. May I take this one?
Yes.
This enzyme is called reduced nicotinamide adenine dinucleotide cytochrome B5 reductase. One of the great all-time
names.
What's
its nickname? Sparky?
It has no nickname. You have to say the entire thing every time. And so this enzyme, reduced nicotinamide adenine dinucleotide cytochrome B5 reductase, is actually capable of converting the iron from its ferric state in methemoglobins into its ferrous state, which is capable of binding with oxygen, like the kind that's found in hemoglobin. So for all intents and purposes, reduced nicotinamide adenine dinucleotide cytochrome B5 reductase is capable of converting methemoglobins into hemoglobin, and most of us are able to do that. But if you're like a fugate and you have that rare genetic condition where both parents donated that mutation to you and you develop methemoglobinemia, but there's some reduced amount of reduced nicotinamide adenine dinucleotide cytochrome B5 reductase, which means that methemoglobins that you naturally produce are able to build up and accumulate in your blood. And when they do that, and that's how you start to turn blue. That's how you cross that 1% threshold.
That's right. And this is one of the rare times where you can actually have a genetic condition that's pretty easily solved. And in this case, it's just a pill. Mm-hmm. And the guy who figured this out has a sort of an interesting story in his own right. His name is Madison Cawein or Cawein? Cawein?
I'm going with Cawein.
Cawein?
Cawein. Cawein. Oh, I'm going with Cawein.
C-A-W-E-I-N, Cawein.
Although I like cow wine. That doesn't sound like it'd be tasty, but I'll bet it gives you a pretty good buzz.
He was the grandson of a pretty famous at the time poet out of Kentucky. And Madison was the third of of the Madisons. And this is just a side note, very sad and interesting. His wife was poisoned and murdered by poison.
Oh, no.
In the 1960s, and no one was ever caught and charged with a crime. And it kind of remains one of Kentucky's, you know, sort of biggest cold cases.
Wow, I did not see that one coming.
Yeah, he and his wife and this other couple were out drinking all night, supposedly, like, just got sloshed.
Mm-hmm. So and the 60s.
At a country club. Madison, didn't even make it home. I think he stayed the night there. But the other man, the man from the other couple, drove his wife home. Apparently just dropped, they had another nightcap, and she woke up dead. Well, didn't wake up dead. She died.
Mm-hmm.
And they thought it was just, you know, alcohol or some natural cause, but then they found these two like little needle pricks in her.
Wow.
Where they think she was, I guess, given a shot to pass out and then poisoned. And I can't remember the poison. It was some sort of like acid or something.
Wow.
But yeah, really, really interesting. Neither here nor there as far as this goes, but that's the sad story of Dr. Madison Cowine's wife.
Was he a suspect? Because I would have suspected him.
I don't think so, because he wasn't even there. That's the first thing I thought, but apparently it was pretty verified that he slept it off at the country club, I guess.
Crazy. Because,
yeah.
I mean, one of the things that he became famous for, if not the thing he became famous for, was injecting people with some fairly weird stuff.
I know. Isn't that weird?
Yeah. It is weird.
You're not buying it.
Nah, I don't want to like cast aspersions on somebody. I don't know enough about the story, but that's just very odd, especially.
You're like, judging from this 90-second story.
Right, exactly. I can conclusively solve this case. I've seen enough Law and Order to know that the husband almost always did it.
Well, that is probably true, but probably not in this case. But at any rate, he was a hematologist at University of Kentucky.
Mm-hmm.
And he heard about these people throughout the world and really wanted to kind of get to the bottom of this when a couple of them, I don't think these were Fugates, but Patrick and Rachel Ritchie, I guess, you know, it happened in some other family. I know the Combses.
We knew a Combs from Kentucky. We had a friend that we worked with for a little while.
Oh, really?
He was never, struck me as blue. Yeah.
He never struck you as blue?
But I wonder if he is related to the Combses.
Well, who knows?
Which would make them by somehow Fugate, because again, these families in the Fugate area were all, if you went back far enough, Fugates.
Right, exactly. All right, so these people walk into his office, and what happened?
So here's the thing: like, they didn't walk into his office; he went and found them. I read an article about him, and he became maybe a little obsessed with finding these people. Wanted to know what the heck was going on, so he actually went out in the woods and would wait for them, and every once in a while would see one, and he'd chase them, telling them to stop, and of course they would run off. So He figured out another way to do it. He moved to Hazard County near Troublesome Creek, and he started asking around at clinics, like, had anybody ever treated a blue patient? And he finally struck gold, blue gold, when he spoke to one nurse at a clinic that said, yeah, this one woman came in with blue skin, and she was really self-conscious about her skin. She came to the back door, was really just kind of meek and embarrassed. But we've treated a blue person before. So Cowine basically hung around this clinic until more blue people came in, and this is where he met the Ritchie siblings.
Yeah, so he started to dig into their family a little bit. It became pretty obvious to him that it was a genetic disorder. And he started digging around other stories around the North America, mm-hmm. and found an Inuit population in Alaska who had the same condition. I'm just going to call it this condition now.
Okay.
I think we've said it enough.
Sure.
Or at least I have.
Yeah.
And he said, well, you know, these people were interbreeding a lot because they were very remote as well. And so he said, I think we understand the problem here. How do we fix it?
Yeah, I don't know if where he got this idea, but he used something called methylene blue, which was already like in wide use. It's used to stain tissue because it affects some cells differently than others. It was a malarial treatment, which malaria can actually produce methemoglobinemia. I'm suddenly having trouble saying it, because we haven't been practicing lately. And what it does is it goes in and it interacts with the reduced nicotinamide adenine dinucleotide cytochrome B5 reductase and basically gives it a boost and helps convert all of that excess methemoglobins into hemoglobins in patients with methemoglobin anemia. And so I don't know where he got the idea, but he tried it and apparently injected the Ritchie kids with it, and they stopped being blue, like, almost on the spot.
Yeah, like minutes later, they returned to a standard color.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, they were overjoyed. Like, could you imagine being like this your whole life, getting a shot and looking in the mirror a few minutes later, and you're like, oh my gosh, it's like, it's gone.
It's actually really sweet because they were very self-conscious, the whole family. I mean, this family like retreated to the woods to like, people didn't know where they lived, and they lived like 5 miles away from them and knew that there was this blue family, still had no idea where they lived. It was like, that's how far they retreated from society because they were that self-conscious. So yeah, I'm sure it was a pretty joyous occasion for them.
There's going to be a movie about this at some point, right?
I can't believe there's not. There's a very famous interview with Kyle Wayne in a magazine called Science 82. And there's also a really famous painting that somebody did, and it was just kind of lost to history who did it. And I read this article. Oh, I can't remember what it was on. But this person tracked down the artist, the initial artist, and got to see, like, the original, because it's been scanned so many times, it's really lost a step. But the original is apparently really something to see.
Should we say the quote that Cohen had in that Science 82 article?
Totally.
He said, when they walked into the office, he said, they were bluer than hell. Very Kentucky.
Yeah, totally.
All right. So over time, Fugate started moving away. Like, some of the younger population of the family got out of Hazard County. And it's so hard not to make Dukes of Hazard jokes. I've been just sidestepping the whole time.
You've been doing really great.
Thank you. But they started to move away over time. And basically, you know, that's going to stop the interbreeding, and that's going to make fewer and fewer blue babies. Mm-hmm. And as of 2012, I think some were still blue, but not today.
Yeah, I think now that there's a treatment, an easy treatment, because they don't even have to be injected anymore. Like, if you're blue and you don't want to be blue, you just take a methylene blue pill once a day. And it goes in. Apparently, once you excrete it out, the methylene blue, you go back to being blue. So you have to take it daily. But I'll bet there's members of that family now, and I'm just guessing here, but that are proudly blue. Now that they know that they don't have to be blue, some of them, I'll bet, make a choice to be blue as kind of like a pride in their family heritage. I'm guessing here.
Well, the thing I saw, that there was one, and that was the one in 2012 that was still blue.
Like, by choice?
I think so, yeah. Just didn't take the pill.
Gotcha. Wow, that's neat.
But not today anymore. So this is not the only way you can get bluish or any, you know, I guess silvery skin is another thing that comes into play here with this next disorder. And this is one called argyria. And some people are bluish, some people are silver. Mm-hmm. If you've looked up, you know, blue people or silver people online, you've no doubt seen Paul Carrison.
Mm-hmm.
They called him Papa Smurf, and he is all over the internet as one of the more famous cases of argyria.
Yeah, and he kind of emerged as, I don't know if a cautionary tale is right, because that was not his purpose.
Mm-hmm.
But he also, whether he meant to or not, he served as a cautionary tale about taking colloidal silver, because that is what turned him blue. And it didn't just turn his skin blue, it turned his mucous membranes blue. So if he like flashed his teeth, his gums were blue, the inside of his mouth was blue, the inside of his nose was blue. He was blue, bluer in hell, as Kyle Wayne would probably put it.
That's right.
And he did it because he saw an article about how silver ions basically restored some cut flower back to life again. And he thought, well, that'd be really something to see what it can do on a human body.
I want to be a fresh daisy.
Right. And he wasn't the only person experimenting at the time. Like, apparently for a while it was a over-the-counter drug, and we've been using silver for a very long time. But he was somebody who used it every single day. He was drinking like a 10-ounce drink of colloidal silver. He figured out how to basically make his own colloidal silver potion, and he also rubbed it on his face, too. And so in very short order, he started to turn blue, because that is definitely a consequence of using silver too much, of overexposure to silver.
That's right. And this can happen if you work in, like, a silver mine mm-hmm. or something.
Right.
Like, it can be one of the side effects of mining in silver mines.
I also saw that in the old-time, not even that old, but just pre-digital photography processing, photograph processing, you could actually...
old-timey?
The 80s.
Yeah.
You could actually develop argyria from exposure to the silver dust that was used to expose photographic plates. I think prior to the 80s. I don't know when they stopped using that.
I don't either. I spent a lot of times in dark rooms as a kid because of my dad.
Mm-hmm. Because you were bad?
Yeah, I'd go in there, turn on that red light and sit there and think about what you've done. No, my dad was an amateur photographer. Well, I guess semi-professional. He sold stuff, but he did his own developing, and I learned how to do it and did it some through high school and then kind of quit doing it. It was a lot of fun, though. Dark rooms are... very, like, peaceful places.
Is that right?
Yeah, just, you know, they're dark, obviously.
Sure.
And you're in there for a long period of time, mm-hmm. and it's just very nice, usually by yourself, but unless you're in a teen romance movie, and then, you know, the cute girl's in there with you.
I always associate them with the murderer finally coming into focus, and they happen to be standing right next to the photographer who's developing it. So to me, dark rooms are very tense, scary places.
Like as the photo paper like comes into focus.
Yeah.
Oh, very tense.
It shows the calls coming from inside the dark room.
That's right. Where were we? Okay, so what causes this is an excess of silver ions in your body.
Right.
And when they're exposed to light, they react by forming dark deposits on the skin that end up looking silverish. And the bad news about this is once you've got it, it's there. You can't take a pill and get rid of it.
No, it's irreversible. We don't have a way to remove excess silver from the tissues in the human body. And that's all it is. It's just, it builds up. Normally the body can excrete, you know, small amounts of silver that we're exposed to from, like, you know, touching silver or snorting silver, that kind of stuff.
What?
You know, like we pee it out, we poop it out, and we get rid of it. But if we overcome that threshold and our silver ingestion exceeds our ability to excrete it, it starts to build up in the tissue. And so if you're drinking your own 10-ounce colloidal silver homebrew every single day, you're going to overwhelm your body's ability to excrete silver very quickly, and it's going to build up and build up and build up, and pretty soon you're going to be blue or silver blue.
That's right. And if you look up images of Carasan, you're probably also going to find pictures of Stan Jones, a libertarian politician in Montana, who around Y2K said, you know what, I think things are going to go south and we're not going to have any antibiotics, so I'm going to start making my own, again, colloidal silver solution.
Yeah.
And drink that stuff. And then there was a teacher in Brooklyn, too, named Rosemary Jacobs, who very sadly, I think, got nasal drops with silver when she was a kid.
Mm-hmm.
And she was she was very silver for life.
Yes, she was. So these people, again, have proved to be cautionary tales to most people who are like, oh, that's what happens if you take too much silver. I'm not going to take colloidal silver supplements over the counter or anything like that. I'm just going to steer clear of silver altogether. Because one of the problems is there's not a lot of peer-reviewed evidence, if any, that suggests that silver has any beneficial effect when taken internally, right? It is actually antimicrobial. It's pretty clever to use silver, like in the pre-scientific days. But there's nothing that says, like, yes, if you drink a colloidal silver homebrew, it's going to have any effect on your life or your health. And in fact, it might actually turn you blue. Despite this, people still take colloidal silver pretty frequently. Apparently, Alex Jones touts it. Gwyneth Paltrow touts it. Dr. Oz touts it. And that's, you know, if it's not actually harming you, there doesn't seem to be any harm from it, aside from potentially irreversibly turning blue. But there's a larger harm that I saw, Chuck, to society in general, in that silver is a antimicrobial of last resort that is they're figuring out how to use it against antibiotic resistant bugs like MRSA. That silver will get in there and even kill MRSA, but that silver resistance may be developed in bugs by all these people taking colloidal silver supplements and drinking colloidal silver, you know, home brews and stuff like that, that it's actually creating silver resistant microbes, which is not a good thing for anybody.
All right. Well, let's take our second break. Good.
Yes.
And we'll talk a little bit more about colloidal silver right after this. Hey, everybody. It's halftime and the scoreboard is not looking good. You're feeling low and not sure you can pull out a win. And that's when you have to dig deep, lift your head up, and say to yourself, time to get back in the game. Pull off some bank heists and take as much of your friend's money as you possibly can.
That's right. The smash hit mobile game Monopoly Go lets you compete with your friends to get the most riches and the biggest empire. It's the Monopoly you love, but on your phone, anytime, with tons of new twists, including leaderboards to compare your progress to your buddies.
That's right. You can play on countless dynamic Monopoly boards. You can make your friends bankrupt by smashing their landmarks with a wrecking ball, and you can charge other players rent for your iconic properties.
Plus, you can even work with your friends to crack open community chests in tournaments to get rewards and climb the leaderboard.
So get back out there, put on your game face, and download Monopoly Go, now free on the App Store or Google Play.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hey, everybody. Did you know that Boricua is the name for someone from Puerto Rico? But it's more than just a name. It's a way of life and representation of the vibrant spirit of the island.
Yeah, that's right. It's an island that's filled with adventure around every corner and natural treasures waiting to be explored, like El Yunque, the only tropical rainforest in the entire United States.
That's right. Or you can get swept away by natural beauty and come away with unique stories that could only be experienced in Puerto Rico that remind you of why you travel in the first place.
Visits end, but stories last forever. You don't become a part of the island, it becomes a part of you.
That's right. In Puerto Rico, you can forget where you came from and embrace where you are. No passport required for U.S. citizens and permanent residents. Learn more and plan your trip at discoverpuertorico.com.
Now your ideas don't have to wait. Now they have everything they need to come to life. Dell Technologies and Intel are creating technology that loves ideas, loves expanding your business, evolving your passions. They push what technology can do, so great ideas can happen right now. Find out how to bring your ideas to life at Dell.com/welcome to now.
All right. So you mentioned earlier that kind of in passing that colloidal silver had been used mainstream medical science coming on board. Mm-hmm. And it's really true. And they were kind of onto something in that, like you said, there are some antimicrobial properties. So people like Pliny the Elder, Cyrus the Great, they both touted the use of silver. Monks in the Middle Ages used silver nitrate to treat ulcers and burns. Mm-hmm. And it was used a lot. It's kind of, in a way, before we had real antibiotics, one of the first antibiotics.
Yes. Again, externally, it messes up microbes, and we're not exactly sure even still today, what the mechanism is. The guesses are that it somehow penetrates the membrane of the of bacteria and prevents it from replicating properly, or it does like some 1-2 punches on enzymes that the microbes need to survive, but that it will leave your human skin cells alone. It just attacks microbes weirdly, bacteria specifically. So yeah, it was like a early antibiotic, and it actually stayed in use for a long time. Nowadays, you'll find it in like wound dressings. Sometimes sutures will be coated in silver. Replacement joints, artificial joints, will have some sort of silver component to it to protect against infection. But we were using them internally for a really long time, up until the 60s even. I think babies got like silver eye drops when they were born, which I had not heard of until, you know, yesterday.
I had neither. Yeah, silver nitrate. To prevent eye infections. But then they found out it can actually cause eye damage and burn the skin. So they really worked on when you make something less potent by mixing it with water?
Dilute it?
Diluting it.
Mm-hmm.
Right on the tip of my tongue.
You did it.
No, you did it. So they learned how to dilute it. But the problem with diluting it in a formula is it wasn't an exact science. Like, they didn't know exactly how much silver was still going to be active. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, you couldn't really use it as a medicine anymore because it was either too weak to do anything or it was so much that you risked turning blue. So eventually they just scrapped it as a medicine and said, I think in 1999, the FDA said, this isn't a medicine. You can't advertise it as such. Mm-hmm. So they said, all right, we'll just say it's a supplement.
Right.
And just move it to the shelf, you know, 4 feet away.
And the FDA said,
And that's what happened. And you can still get this stuff. That's where, you know, that's why Gwyneth Paltrow uses it.
Yeah. So, and I mean, like, again, it's one of those things where it's like, yes, it makes sense. Silver has antimicrobial properties. There's probably some microbes in your body you don't want. So take some silver and see if it works. But again, there's just not any peer-reviewed evidence that backs this up. That's not necessarily to say that it doesn't work. Just because there isn't peer-reviewed evidence that backs it up doesn't also necessarily mean in the same breath that there's plenty of peer-reviewed evidence that says it doesn't work. I'm not suggesting anybody take this stuff. I'm just saying there's not peer-reviewed evidence to back up that it actually does anything. And if you do take it, again, you risk permanently, irreversibly turning blue.
Yeah, and I should point out, I don't know anything about Gwyneth Paltrow's current usage, but this her appearance on Dr. Oz in 2013 was when she touted it. She may have given it up. Who knows?
Paul Carusot never gave it up, though, Chuck. He died in 2013 as well, same year that Gwyneth Paltrow outed herself as a silver user. And Paul Carusot, he apparently used colloidal silver, that homebrew he made, up until the end. Like, he never stopped, even though he apparently retreated from the public eye because he was tired of being treated like a freak or a weirdo, and had some rough years toward the end, apparently after he went public. But he still kept up with the colloidal silver, although that doesn't seem to have been linked to his death. He was also a really heavy smoker for many years, and he suffered a heart attack and a stroke.
Yeah, I mean, I guess his point was probably, well, I'm already blue.
Yeah.
Like, why stop now?
Can't get much bluer. So what else you got?
Well, I just thought we'd wind it up with this little kind of sidebar. This doesn't really have anything to do with being blue or silver, but I thought it was an interesting find that they basically determine there's something called repigmenting that has happened to people to go their skin both darker and lighter. Mm-hmm. That has nothing to do, and it's funny, this article kept calling it intermarriage. What they mean is, you know.
Eater.
Yeah. What they mean is having sex and having babies of two different skin colors. But they keep calling it intermarriage, which I guess is, you know, very sweet.
It's just such a lovely way to put it.
It is. But they know that repigmenting happens regardless of intermarriage. But what they found recently is that this has happened a lot faster than anyone thought. And we're talking about 100 generations or as little as 100 generations, which is a long time, but over the course of human history, it's not that long.
It's potentially, yeah, it's not that long. Usually a generation is chalked up at about 20 years. So we're talking as little as 2,000 years that groups that were once lily white went back to being dark, and groups that were dark can turn into a lily white population. And that it's just basically more evidence that race is strictly a social construct. Skin color has nothing to do with anything but the amount of melanin that our genes tell our bodies to produce, which is triggered by the amount of UV exposure that we have over something like 100 generations.
Right. And so if your family lineage moves from a place that has lots of UV near the equator to a place that doesn't have much daylight, mm-hmm. or vice versa, your body is going to adapt and melanin production is going to change. Mm-hmm. And over time, your entire family's skin color can change.
Yeah, because we actually need UV, right? But we just need a certain amount of it. If you have too much, you can get skin cancer. Apparently, it can have reproductive issues. If you get too little, it can also have issues on your bone, because we use UV to produce vitamin D, which we use for strong bones, bone density. So our bodies have figured out how to kind of adjust depending on that UV exposure by producing or slowing down melanin production. That's it.
Pretty amazing.
Pretty neat. But it is surprising that it's... Well, actually, it's not that surprising that it can happen over 100 generations or 2,000 years, because the body is very responsive to its environment. Yeah. We adapt very easily. So that's not particularly surprising, although it is neat.
Yeah. I mean, it surprised the scientists. I think they just thought it was quicker than they anticipated.
Mm-hmm. So if you're a racist, just stop and think that somewhere down your family line, there is a white person or a black person. Ha ha.
Or in the future.
Yeah. That's true.
That's right. So take that.
You got anything else?
I have nothing else.
All right. Well, if you want to know more about blue people or colloidal silver or pigmentation, go start reading up on it on the internet. And thanks again to all the great sites that you found in putting this really good episode together, Chuck. And since I complimented Chuck's episode putting together skills, it's time for listener mail.
I'm going to call this one of the many... thanks we got for the NRA, but the Mr. Na episode.
Right.
This is one I think for both of us, like, we were super stoked to do, and like in retrospect, very proud of. Yeah. You know,
we're stoked.
We were super stoked, not just stoked.
Bruh.
Stoked plus. There's no way to say stoked without sounding like a bro.
No way at all.
That stinks too, because I'm not a bro, but I do like saying stoked.
That's fine. Just say stoked. Be loud and proud, like the last remaining blue Fugate.
So this is from Mark, and it was a really long one that I'm going to just sort of summarize. The first part is that Mark works in healthcare information technology and had a rough go of it over the past couple of years, like so many people, working alone and listening to our show, mm-hmm. which he said helped quite a bit. Losing some close friends to COVID,
man,
and seeing all this up close and personal. So Mark had a tough time. So he says this, after working for almost 2 years on the COVID-19 problem, the last thing I wanted to hear was your podcast about Mr. Na vaccines.
Understood.
When I saw the topic pop up on my player, took a deep breath and decided to listen anyway. I knew almost everything you shared on the podcast, but became enthralled in the recap of this amazing story. To my surprise, I was again brought to tears with a recognition, one that you two share, of these brilliant helpers who use their gifts for the benefit of all humanity. At the risk of making you blush, you two are part of those helpers. You presented this Mr. Na episode with a childlike curiosity and relatable simplicity that anyone with doubts on taking the vaccine would reconsider. I can't believe that I have to say this, but facts help, and fact sharers are helpers. I might also add that letting go of any biases to let your curiosity take hold is heroic. And that is from Mark. And boy, I'm going to read that one another 100 times today.
Yeah, just print it out and fold it up and keep it under your pillow.
Yes, thank you, Mark. He wanted his last name to be withheld, but appreciate the work,
Mark.
You've done, Mark, and hang in there.
Yeah, same to you, Mark. And that was very high praise. Thank you very much for it. It means a lot to hear something like that. One other thing, though, Chuck, that Mark reminded me of, that people with methemoglobinemia actually can blush blue.
Oh, so they get bluer?
Yeah. Isn't that neat?
I guess that makes sense.
Thanks for that, too, Mark. Even though you had no idea you're setting us up for it, you did. So you're just an altogether great person. If you want to be a great person like Mark and write in to let us know whatever you want to let us know, we want to hear from you. You can wrap it up and spank it on that bottom until it's blue in the face and send it off to stuffpodcast@iheartradio.com.
Stuff You Should Know is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
The first cell phone was demonstrated in 1973 by Martin Cooper. But you know what wasn't demonstrated? Shared plans. Over 50 years later, you can save on one line, thanks to Visible. It's true. So switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon for just $25 a month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com.
Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. It's a simple truth. No matter who you are, mental health challenges can affect you, and how you manage them can make all the difference. That's why everyone should have access to mental health support that meets them where they are and helps them get through. BetterHelp provides online therapy on your schedule. It's flexible, simple to use, and more affordable than in-person therapy. Connect with a licensed therapist selected just for you. Learn more at BetterHelp.com. That's BetterHelp.com.
Life in our modern age comes at you pretty fast, which makes our time away especially valuable. When I take time to relax, I like to get far from my everyday life, immerse myself in natural beauty, and have unique experiences. But you don't have to leave the U.S. to experience tropical rainforests and islands filled with adventure, warm culture, and national treasures. Visit Puerto Rico, an island with a vibrant spirit that will sweep you away. Because when you visit, you don't become part of the island, it becomes part of you. In Puerto Rico, you can forget where you came from and embrace where you are. Puerto Rico, where visits end, but stories last forever. No passport required for U.S. citizens and permanent residents. Learn more and plan your trip at discoverpuertorico.com.
Childproofing people's homes is hard, but Duracell is making it just a bit simpler. Not only are they committed to educating parents, caregivers, and medical professionals about the importance of battery safety, they make the only lithium coin batteries with a non-toxic bitter coating to help discourage children from swallowing them. Duracell even features child-secure packaging designed to avoid accidental opening. Learn more at Duracell.com/power safely. Available on 2032, 2025, and 2016 sizes.